This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, live from Globe Life Field. We are in the Comerica backyard right now, hanging out, so whenever the doors open out here, y'all are more than welcome to come on by, say hello, tell us you're a Tolo, and, you know, just say hi to Mike is what I always suggest. Want to get a couple things underway here as well. There are a few tickets remaining for the final home series tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. You got DeGrom, his 2024 season home debut, and then limited tickets available Saturday and Sunday as well. And it looks like they still got the Adolis Garcia cartwheel bobblehead for about first 15,000 fans right there. But right now, let's turn things over to our good friend Alec Medford for AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
It was the Corey Major Show on 105.3 The Fan for about 45 seconds, but now it's time for AM on the FM, man. It was definitely fun, but, you know, I didn't even have enough time to dig up the drop. That's how quick it was. But AM on the FM is here to stay. That is the fun thing. We start with a question of the day, as we always do, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to get involved in the conversation. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. And we're going to get to some sound here in just a second. CJ Stroud, he does his homework, if you didn't know, and he does a lot of homework when it comes to game prep. You're going to hear from him here in just a second. But the question of the day today is based off of something that I will be doing tomorrow.
Ooh, meeting a girl?
How's that going?
It's Friday night, you know, I wish. But maybe we'll cook up something for the nighttime. But right after the show tomorrow, after I'm done here, I'm going down to North Park to go pick up a new phone. Ooh. And I want to know, question of the day, what is something that you might not outwardly express it, but you really nerd out about? And for me, it's technology. Ever since I was a little kid, my dad has worked in tech. So I've been around it. I've been taught a million things that have helped me throughout life. I'm kind of like the troubleshoot guy in the family if my dad isn't around. So I've kind of become the de facto IT guy in the Medford household. And
nice.
You know, it's nice. It's very helpful. But whenever Apple does these keynote speeches, I always watch them live. Whenever Microsoft has a big announcement for new laptops or whatever, I'm always watching these things. I'm always keeping an eye on them. I'm always tapped into the world of technology. And I don't really talk about it a lot. I don't really show it, but I really enjoy new tech and new products. And like whenever the next wave of NVIDIA graphics cards comes out, I'm like, okay, why
I don't even know what you just said.
Why does this cost $4,000? Why can I not afford something that I already have in my computer? This makes no sense. So I do my homework on this stuff because it entertains me, and I don't really tell anyone, don't really talk about it, but I love new phones, computers, all that. That stuff really intrigues me. So that's kind of like my secret nerd interest, if you will. What's you guys'?
I wish I could say that mine is something I've been passionate about my whole life, but it's really actually kind of been thrust upon me in the last few years. My father-in-law became a master gardener. He retired.
How does one become a master
gardener? You got to go take some gardening classes, and like you got to learn a lot about plants. Like you really have to learn a lot. And he got certified for it. So
wow.
I don't know exactly like what doors that opens for him now, but I mean, they got a group, you know. It's like, remember the Dennis the Menace movie, and he had that one flower that only opens once every 7,000 moons. And it's, I feel like he's that guy.
I mean, no. What are you talking about?
So what's happened is because he does this all the time, he grows all these plants at his house, and he's got a nice size house down there in the hill country, and he's like, I don't have room for these, so he brings them to us. Well, Adrian, I don't know if it's a black thumb, I don't know exactly how to say it, because her thumb kills plants.
My wife does that with plants too. I love her to death, but she does.
So I have had to become
the Ted Bundy of gardeners.
That being said, all the master gardeners do say you got to kill 10,000 plants before you can really become a good gardener.
What?
Yeah. So
I feel like we should have somebody else teaching this.
That's what they say is 10,000 are going to die.
It's
just plants. Don't let them know I said that though. But So I've become the de facto gardener at our house because I'm the only one that like cares enough to go water the plants and learn about them. And Kevin, you saw me in Oxnard, right? Whenever I would take pictures of the golden shower tree and I would take pictures of all the other things. That's what the name of the tree was,
Alex,
Kevin.
You heard that, right?
I heard that.
Yeah, you saw
it happened.
Me. I took a picture. Carter Freeman saw it also. I took a picture. I clicked on the little thing. That's what it said it's called. And so you saw me taking pictures of every plant that I was around out there because they have unique California, the climate out there. It's amazing to grow crops. And so I wanted to see what those were. And then back here, I do like all the Texas native stuff. It just looks awesome. Recently got a desert willow. So excited about it. Adrian's tired of hearing me talk about it.
Is it that Adrian lacks the skill, you think, or just the time and patience and effort?
I think a little bit of both, Kevin.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if she, like, she pays attention to everything else. You know, it's like she's the calendar at our house, and I'm the one that kind of just makes sure that things are taken care of. That I fill in the cracks for her.
Okay.
So she's the one that's like, hey, here's the schedule, and I'm the one that's walking around going, okay, I
got
to make sure
this
is watered today.
Gotcha.
The pool is full and cleaned, and the filter, you know,
the
all
kids
that
got food.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kill Switch on the Twitch. That's a bar. says, I geek out on antique swords, and yes, that includes lightsabers.
Yeah.
Dope.
That is something that I wish I had the expendable income to do, because if I was just filthy rich, I would have like every like movie prop replica that you could ever imagine.
See, this probably won't surprise you too much, Alec. For me, it's wrestling to the point that after a pay-per-view goes off the air and they're like, hey, stick around for the press conference. I'm like, you know what? I think I will. I am going to watch this press conference. And I realize people could text in, hit us up on Twitch and YouTube and be like, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard. Fair. That's fair. But he asked, what do you nerd out on? That is what it is.
See, this is a safe space.
I think that's okay, man. Yeah, I'm proud of you for opening up like that.
I'm not hurting anybody.
Nuh-uh,
I say that to my wife all the time. I was like, I'm not bothering anybody.
No, this is true. I mean, as Jay Kidd always says.
No one's dying.
From the 972 landscaper here, love to hear Corey coming around on landscape guys, since the poor blower guy in our Arizona always takes a lot of heat.
Man,
that's
you
a great callback.
Crushing that guy. You were crushing.
And then we
that
had
guy.
One in Oxnard this year.
We did.
That was wild. I think you followed us.
Why don't you just let those people do their job, Corey?
Well, it's interfering with my job. From the 817, estate sales and garage sales.
Mm.
This is a breed of people that I admire, because to go through all that junk and know this is a winner right here is always amazing to me. But my buddy is one of those people that he'll stop at every garage sale he sees, and he comes away with some really cool antique stuff that I'm like, how'd you even find that?
All right, let me ask you an alternate, both of you guys. Let me ask you an alternate question about that same answer. Do you still have that same level of love and respect if they don't do it for value or profit, just because they think garage sales are neat? And
no.
Would you marry that person?
Oh, man, it sounds like.
Theoretically.
Sounds like you're just collecting junk.
Oh, yeah. She loves a yard sale, and she's like, what's kind of fun things can we find here? She's not looking to make money or anything. She's just like, oh, that's a fun teapot.
Oh, wow. Mike, so we're asking what kind of stuff you nerd out on that you don't typically talk about with people, that you do have a secret love for. I know you love baking. That is something you kind of
Tomorrow, Dave Raymond, I was bragging about my dump cake, and I was telling him what a dump cake is.
What is a dump cake?
Mike's dumpy.
It's kind of like a cobbler.
Uh-huh.
So you take canned peaches, I put in blueberries, then you throw a yellow cake mix on top, then you slice a stick or two of butter, like thinly sliced butter, then you drizzle or kind of throw on some brown sugar.
Do the peaches come from a can?
Yes.
Were they put there by a man?
In a factory downtown?
I guess so.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I don't know where, but they can the peaches.
Probably in the country is where the peaches come
from. And then
appreciate
you bake it in the oven for 30 minutes or so, and then...
You're going to make one for Dave Raymond.
Yeah.
But you, A, still haven't made me a carrot cake, and you're not even bringing me any dump cake now?
That's a great... I'll make you a dump cake. Dump cakes are easy to make. I just explain how quick and easy they are to make. And when they call it a dump cake, it doesn't have to be peaches. It doesn't have to be blueberries. You can kind of use any fruit.
Man, that sounds awesome.
So you could use, if you wanted to, I guess, apple. But I think you'd have to use apple pie filling, not just sliced apples. So you can use cherry. You can use a whole bunch of different things. But I find the best one to me is peaches and blueberries.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I think that's Mike's world is the baking world. Do you wear like a apron too? When
no.
You're, okay.
Right.
Oh,
do
man.
You want one?
Yeah.
If it
was like a cool Rangers one or like a ball sack one or something,
yeah.
Would you wear it?
With lace
yeah.
on it?
Yeah, well, if you want to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, all those things. I'm not wearing it naked for you.
Oh, man.
I am not requesting that at all.
Yeah.
Metro, get control of this.
I'm out.
Man, yeah, you lost me there, Mike. From the 817 VR/video games, forever fascinated. I was interested in VR for all of about a week because my stepmom got one of those Oculus Rift headphones things. And I played it for maybe like 2 days, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of over it. From the 214, I nerd out on barbecue grills. All right, Sean Sharif.
Huh.
Yeah, no, that's – and I know one of our big listeners, Justin, has like 9 different grills on his patio. He's run out of room. I have 2. I got the egg, and then I have the Blackstone, and I can pretty much – you know, do everything I need to on that, but yeah. I do have a lot of respect for the people that have stacks of it and can do it all, man.
The Blackstone has definitely changed my life. Like, breakfast on Saturday mornings in the Medford household is amazing because of all the stuff that can go down on one of those griddles. But keep those coming in, 877-881-1053, your secret fascination that you nerd out on. Again, technology picking up the new iPhone tomorrow, so I'm, like, real excited for that. But I know, Kevin, you just haven't caught up with the times. It's okay.
I have caught up with the time.
Yeah,
that's why I'm an Android.
You're a green guy.
I don't know what the difference
is. No, he's undecided, Mike.
When we text.
Oh, yeah, he's still green. Yeah. We're blue.
I'm always
going to
be green.
Why?
Because I like Android better for so many reasons.
You're weird.
Yeah. I mean, to each their own. you know who has caught up with the times? C.J. Stroud, the quarterback for the Houston Texans. Obviously, they just had a game this week in which he was pivotal in that win against the Chicago Bears. And this is a bit of mic'd up action from C.J. Stroud on the field against the Bears. He walks up to the Bears star defender, Jalen Johnson. And remember, he just got the big bag from them, the cornerback. Really, really good ball player out there on the outside for the Bears. And he had a piece of advice for one Jalen Johnson.
Stop telling your secrets on Richard Sherman podcast, dude.
What you mean?
The palms, look. You ain't slick, brother. You ain't getting me. You ain't getting me.
So he said, don't tell your secrets on Richard Sherman's podcast.
Like
so he went on Richard Sherman's podcast, which is... adequately call it the Richard Sherman podcast.
Makes
a lot of sense. And this was actually, I think during the off season, like not even relatively recently, Jalen Johnson was talking about an interception he made. I want to say it was against Minnesota. And he broke down how he made this play to Richard Sherman.
No, even last year, it's funny, the one, the pick that you talk about, we were really in palms. So
you did that on palms?
I promise you. Because, look, hear me. I seen the formation, so in my head, I'm like, I know I'm to the field. He sees me off. He probably going to try to bang this 5 yard in. But I already knew it was a 5 yard in with a seven behind it. So I'm kind of seeing it, and I'm in my head. I'm going to make a play. I don't like just catching that little pass and tackling it. So I'm like, if he throws this short route, I'm going to drive it.
So he said, wow. From a specific look, because Richard Sherman asked him about that play, he was like, you're not even supposed to be in that spot in this formation, in this scheme. How did you make that play? And he was like, well, we were actually running palms, which Richard Sherman, you heard, he could not believe that. And he kind of broke down and he gave like a minute and a half explanation of how he decided. And he said it was film study. Like, I knew that he was going to go for that outer end, so I'm going to make a jump if it is a short route. And he ends up intercepting the ball and taking it back to the house. And CJ Stroud tells him, hey, you're not getting me on that. I heard it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So maybe these current athlete podcasts, maybe we're getting a little too open and honest about some of these things that are happening. I was listening to G-Bag last week with Eric Kendricks, and they asked him what a play call is like, and he was like, man, I feel like I'm telling you guys way too much here. You know, so maybe he was. Maybe he was. I don't know, but Jalen Johnson gave his secret out of that palms look. CJ Stroud saw it, and he said, I'm not throwing at you whenever y'all run that look because I know what you're going to do. You're too good. I'm not doing that.
And, Mike, that's why coaches are so, paranoid all the time about you seeing their stuff in practice.
They are over-paranoid.
I thought about that once. It goes through every level of football. At the high school level, I was at an Allen spring game once, and they wouldn't hand out a roster. And so I had made all these notes just with the numbers. And, you know, obviously it's spring football. You'll have multiple players in the same number depending on offense and defense and stuff. And I talked to the coach afterwards, and I was like, hey, can I get a roster for this game? And he goes, why? And I was like, what do you mean why? So I can write my story with all my notes. And he goes, you tell me the players that you want to know. I'll tell you their name. And I was like, you want me to go through all these? And he goes, I'm not giving out a roster. And I was like, why? And he goes, what if somebody else gets it? And I was like, I'm not going to give your roster to anybody else. But
or would
still,
you?
I didn't.
How much, though?
I didn't, and I wouldn't, but he still wouldn't give me
What's
a roster.
What's a good number, though, for a roster, like in that situation?
I'm not going to sell a roster. I didn't take $1,700. No, I didn't take $1,700
when
that guy
money.
Stopped me in the casino to get my Mayweather
Is that why
credential.
Allen has gone so down in 6A football is DeSoto and Duncanville? And
they
found their rosters. Yeah. They're
like, South Lake Carroll.
Now I know exactly what to do.
Or, that's why Allen isn't good at football anymore.
I mean, they're still good.
I'll introduce you. You get to have dinner with Mark Hamill.
Allen, I challenge you to be good at football again.
And you're not giving me that roster? Okay.
All right. You might have found the weakness. I'd probably do that.
And up next, we'll get him to switch to iPhone. That's AM on the FM.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Globe Life Field in Arlington. Coming up next, this time I promise, we really will do Gridiron Gravy right here on The Fan.
Third down, Prescott back, looking deep to the middle. He's got a man all alone, Cook, at the goal line. It's Cooks for the Cowboys' first touchdown of the year, Brandon Cooks.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field, and right now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deal.
And we're leading you up. Oh, yes, he didn't play it. I appreciate that.
Didn't have time.
Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you could shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, we're getting you ready for Cowboys Ravens. So I wanted to ask you right off the jump. One of the things that Mike has said is he said this is a prove it game. Is week three too early for that?
No.
Okay.
Dang it.
What makes you say that? Because you, like, immediately.
You got to prove it to yourself.
Okay.
I mean, you, after that kind of a whooping, there's a lot of people. I didn't want to say that in front of them.
Say ass.
Yeah.
I got you.
After that kind of whooping, you got to prove it to yourself that the work you put into the week going up to the game wasn't good enough. You gotta show that, man, I know I gotta pay attention to more details. I know I have to be more prepared for my opponent. And then, because if it's really just about execution on the field and it's not about any of the other crap that you didn't do the week leading up, then that's the way to say, man, we just got beat on the field. If you lose a game to an opponent, not, hey, I wasn't prepared for it. They did not look prepared for it. Jordan Phillips, I don't know if I heard Sean and RJ this morning and Bobby and Peyton talking about Jordan Phillips, the wrist injury, he said in the locker room he was fine. And that he's like, no, I'm okay. And so that is kind of a weird situation there. But he wasn't good enough. And that defensive front wasn't good enough. And their effort, I'm not going to say their effort on the field wasn't good enough, but whatever they put into it to be prepared for the opponent, not good enough. So, yeah, this needs to be a prove it. Prove that you can do the work and be prepared for an opponent.
So last night on YouTube, these guys, and I say guys, there could be girls on there too, but they break down the film, right? There's so many people. I'm saying Broaddus is the best, but there are people it that are on a very amateur level, but you watch it and they're just showing the defensive tackles. And, yeah, I think Jordan Phillips is healthy. He's so bad at football now. They had to fake an injury. He still gets paid. Like, he's cool with it probably because you can't be – if you're not cool with it, you can't do it because then you'd get fined by the Players Association. You'd be fine. You know, it'd be like, oh, you're cheating.
Yeah.
You're cheating the rules. So Jordan Phillips, because he's bad at football, they're like, we got to find somebody else who might be able to better. But we'll still pay you. We don't want to lose you. We don't want to release you.
It's kind of a wink-wink thing. You know, we'll get a settlement for you on the way
and
out the
Mozzie,
door.
Right. You guys have talked about it. Mozzie is so bad at football at this point. Like, it's getting to be proven. This he shouldn't even been drafted at all. Like, he's not an NFL football player.
That's why I take offense at some people that I thought were being disingenuous in the lead-up.
And so if this game, now to this game, if they get blown up again in the middle, which is likely, I hope it's not, but likely, and they lose this game by once getting bullied, getting behind, and not being able to stop what Baltimore wants to do, run the ball, and then throw shorter passes to tight ends and stuff, I don't know how you recover from that. I'm not saying the Cowboys will then go 4-13.
Right.
But to me, you would know there's nothing we can do. If a team has the ability to do this, we're finished.
Yeah. The other thing too, Kevin, in this instance, you want your players, if you're a coach, you want your players saying this, just like you want your kid to go get an A on a test.
Sure.
Because now that you've shown me you can do it, I know you can.
Yeah.
So what's keeping us from it?
That's
and
fair.
Then you ride them on that the entire time. You know you can. Why are you not giving me that kind of effort every week?
I think that is a very fair point. Now, I'm really intrigued by this statement. Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, said that Bryce Young is not on the trade block. Now, two things. He also said that Bryce Young was their quarterback, and less than 24 hours later, he got benched. So I don't know how much credibility he has at the moment, but Corey, you just said it. I'm dead serious. Let's say they put him up on the block. What do the Panthers get for the guy who's taken number one just a year ago?
Jared Goff proved that he could be a serviceable quarterback to go to a Super Bowl. So when he got traded, there was some value there. Bryce Young hasn't proven anything other than I'm going to turn the ball over. And, yes, my team, my franchise is terrible, but I'm not the one that can save that franchise. And that's what a team that's going to make that trade, they're looking for somebody to save their franchise.
If you were to make this trade, you have to look at teams now that believe they don't have a quarterback for next year. Because it'd be very tough for Bryce Young. I'll throw an example out there. New England's not a good example.
They feel like they've drafted Drake May
for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
New York Giants have nobody for the future. They know that they're going into this draft to draft a quarterback. There's no way they're trading their first-round pick because it might be the first pick in the draft. So best-case scenario, and I don't even know if they do this, would the Giants trade their second-round pick in 2025, which might be the first pick in the top three pick in the second round of the 2025 draft?
Okay, I'm not saying they wouldn't, but I'm glad that you brought that up because in my mind, and maybe the Panthers would scoff at this, I don't think I can go higher than a third. Like, I understand they're like, 1 year ago, he's the number one overall pick, and I'm like, yeah, by you,
and what,
I wouldn't go higher than a third.
What credentials, Kevin, that's the wrong word, would you need if you're the Giants looking at Bryce Young? Like, you're going, why would I? He's just Daniel Jones to me right now.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else that they studied and they were
salary
like.
Salary would be my argument.
Okay.
I need to take a look at their rookie contract and how that salary would break down on both sides of the trade as well. But that's the only thing
I've
got for you.
I got nothing.
I'll give you another, but I'm worried. I can't trade my first round pick. Is the future of the Rams. Not that Stafford's done, but if I'm looking like I want a future guy.
Yeah.
Like, I guess if I'm the Rams, like, I'm looking at, well, I still don't believe that my season's over. I think it is. But, like, if I want a future guy and I don't think I'm going to draft a guy, because now you have to start weighing, if I'm going to draft a quarterback next year in the draft, is he better?
You're right.
Than the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's where your whole start is. So, yeah, I appreciate them saying he might be on the trade block, though, Kevin.
No, he said he's not on the trade block.
I think he said, by saying not, I think he said, look, we're open to trades.
All right. Now, this is not, I don't know, I guess it's kind of a question. Will Levis said he had to change his phone number after it got leaked out and he got a bunch of unwarranted messages. Now Dan Campbell said he's going to sell his house due to privacy and security concerns. I guess I question on both sides. Are you surprised people do this? And then because football is so popular, are you surprised we don't hear this story more often?
You're famous Mike Bassick. Have you ever been stalked at your house or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
But people do know my address because they send cards to my house to have me sign them.
Okay.
So I do know, eBay, obviously, I buy off of eBay. There are Tolos listening right now that I didn't know when I bought the cards off of them on eBay. They're like, big fan, listen to the show, Tolo, whatever. They'll put little, you know, fun little notes in the package that I've bought from them. But I do know people can get my address because they've gotten it and sent cards my way.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage. I do think you have to live with being a public figure that people can easily access you in multiple ways, whether it's your home address, whether it's your workspace, whatever. They can get to you. Obviously, the small percentage, they know how to. If they want to kill you, they can kill you.
Yeah, Matt Schaub, I believe, during his pick six era, Kevin, where he was in that pick six mode, he had somebody walk directly up his driveway to his door and knock on it to tell him how bad he was. And so, like, that's kind of scary, man. And haven't we talked about players that have been at games and their house gets robbed because everybody knows they're at the game
now? Yeah,
that's always wild to me. So, I'm surprised. I feel like gated communities for a lot of those players is kind of how that ends up being. They wind up in those kind of places.
Now, what do you guys think is the record for most sacks in the span of five games? Because Aiden Hutchinson is in position where he can challenge that. But I just want to see y'all's thoughts first. Five games, what's the record for most sacks in a five-game run?
Eight.
Oh, no. I think it has to be more than that.
50.
12.
12 and a half is the answer. Now, that was done by Michael Strahan, and it was the same year that he set the sack record.
Yeah, so, legitimately.
Yeah, sure. But Aiden Hutchinson in the last four games, and I know this obviously trickles over to last year as well, has 10 and a half sacks, and so the record's 12 and a half, so he's within striking distance. I'm not saying he will get it or not, but it's pretty cool. And again, he's a third-year player. I know he's the number two pick, but man, is he shown a lot early on.
Yeah, and he's given that free reign to do what he wants to on that edge, and he's smart enough. He's physically capable of it. I'm now rooting for it. Not that I'm rooting for the Lions by any means,
but I am
rooting to see that happen, especially since I don't think the Cowboys play the Lions in that stretch there, Kevin, so I'm okay with it.
We do play them later, though, right? We play the Lions this year on the schedule, right?
Yes, but it just won't.
Not in this five.
It just won't be in this next game. Yeah,
it'll
so
be
you're
like
good.
In
you're good.
November, right?
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a tough game.
The meat of the schedule.
And
yeah,
the
it just matters. The meat for Tyron Smith is the last four games.
Now, here's a note about who's throwing the most uncatchable balls, and I promise I'm not doing this to pick on you, Mike.
Who has no interceptions?
You know, that's an interesting point. So Pro Football Reference, that's a great point.
They're the worst hands in the NFL.
Pro Football Reference defines it as bad throws that, quote, weren't catchable with normal effort. All right? And so the young guys are leading the way with who throws the most non-catchable passes.
Bo Nix.
Believe it or not, no. But that's probably because he checks down so much.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence at 27%, Caleb Williams at 28%, and Bryce Young at 28.3%. I have to admit, I'm surprised about Trevor Lawrence. Not so much the other two, just because one's a rookie and one plays for the worst franchise in the NFL. I'm surprised about Trevor Lawrence.
Mike, that's kind of telling on Trevor Lawrence at the moment.
I don't know if he's lost his confidence.
You might be dead on.
He's not no matter how what you thought of him, like, and I know I referenced Sean Shreve. Sean Shreve will tell me he never thought he was that good of a quarterback at Clemson. There's very few people that thought that, but let's just put Sean Shreve in that category. He's the smartest guy that saw him and said, I don't know why anybody would want him as a quarterback. That's surprising to me. But
you know, my counterargument to that would be, just for the record on this statistic, that's the last three number one picks in the draft. So, like, all of the NFL was like, gross. This guy, this guy, this guy, and yeah. Right now, they're the worst.
I don't know why he's become so, and this probably isn't even a fair term because I'm being too nice, average at quarterbacking. He honestly isn't. He is below average.
Yeah.
I don't know how he went from being his second year in the NFL, being good. I know part of the reason they were down 27 to nothing or whatever it was to the Chargers in the playoffs was him.
Yeah.
He was part of it.
Yeah.
But then he was a major part of, they still won the game, you know, and you're just like, he is elevating himself. That second year and that playoff game, you can see the greatness. And then from there, you've just seen the poopness.
Man, I wonder how much of that does deal with, not the poopness, but I wonder how much of that does deal with their offensive lines and just the overall product of the team. I haven't watched all their plays.
Sure, sure.
But I bet on a lot of those times they're trying to get rid of a ball. But then that screws up your timing, too, whenever you have your feet planted and everything square. Because you're in your mind, you got this clock going, somebody's about to level me because my offensive line's not any good. That's pretty interesting, though, that you point out all of them being the number one overall picks.
Everything points towards firing Doug Peterson.
It's tough to argue at this point.
And
really
I'm not
is.
Saying Trevor Lawrence is good. If people are concerned,
but you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, I have to fire Doug Peterson. He is the offensive guy that has turned Trevor Lawrence into a bag of
mush,
poopness.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field in Arlington, getting you ready for Rangers Rays. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Globe Life Field in Arlington and ready to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Any tidbits of wisdom that we picked up from Mike McCarthy?
Well, if you were looking at the injury report,
yes,
said that there was not high concern over CD and
Diggs
either not practicing or being limited. So that sounded good. And most of the rest of the guys, it was kind of a rest type of thing. As a matter of fact, when he talked about Kendricks, when they were going to give him rest last week, he didn't know what that meant. So he was ready to go. I can't rest.
And I love hearing that.
And then Mozzie, it's
yeah.
Kind of a let's see. They were, I think, doing some more tests and things, and he was vague about where he was at. And I would imagine, after signing Carlos Watkins, and he'd been on a practice squad, so he's been working, practicing, I would imagine he's ready to go in case they need to use him.
Now, something else that CD said, he said he took full blame for the misconnection with Dak in the end zone in the first quarter of the game against the Saints because he missed an adjustment. He said those are the kind of things that you iron out in training camp, and he's having his training camp right now. Like, I appreciate the level of honesty that CD is bringing to the table, and I'm not saying his fault at all because I don't know how those negotiations went, but those are the kind of things that it makes it frustrating as a fan, you know, to think that that deal couldn't have come together sooner.
Well, how do you know that, though?
I mean,
you know they weren't asking for more.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who like was holding up the process.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's frustrating that it didn't come together sooner. I'm not saying it's for sure one side or the other's fault. It's just frustrating because it makes it sound like, well, if he was in camp, then that's a touchdown. Like, I don't know what that does for the rest of the game, but does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And you also probably don't realize they were asking for a fully guaranteed contract.
Sure.
Ooh.
So,
yikes. So that's not going to happen.
Well, it got close.
Yeah, but, I guess so.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's like, you know, every million dollars counts against the cap, right?
Sure.
So if you can save one or two, that's what you're trying to do.
I agree.
And if you're trying to make every dollar you can on a new contract, every $1 million counts. So
sure.
We act like $1 million like $1,000, you know?
Sure.
And you would like to get those things done, but sometimes they just don't work out. And I didn't realize he thought he was being quoted when he was kind of shooting the bull with those guys when he said that.
Well, yeah. I wasn't going to sell you out, Mickey.
No, not me.
I saw it quoted elsewhere.
No,
so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he was just kind of talking.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like an official, one of the deals that they do in front of the little background thing. He was just kind of at his locker talking. So, he took responsibility for it, and you could understand that he saw it one way. And Dak saw it another way. As a matter of fact, I think Dak, I think he was asked about it after the game. And he goes, well, we talk about it all the time. He didn't want to delve into it.
Okay, yeah.
I saw what Brandon Cook said about don't panic.
Right.
I mean, Kevin, you talked about Micah this morning saying this is a prove-it game. And there was a line in the Cook's quote, though, that I thought was interesting. And he was like, September football, how fast can you get to, what you're doing, your fundamentals, and get to those things? Should we just kind of expect that early season football is going to be a little wacky?
Kind of strange, like Baltimore being 0-2.
Yeah,
sure.
Because of the lack of preseason or whatever.
Well, you know what? And that's funny you brought that up, because I was kind of trying to, for my column tomorrow, kind of juxtapose what happened in the first game to what happened in the second game, right? And which one is the indication? And how do you look at it? Well, he got that from McCarthy, because McCarthy basically has said the last couple times, this is September football. And my point I was getting ready to make in my column was, it's September football because there's no football in May and June, and there's very little football, put quotes around it, in August, right? And so now you're all going out there and trying to figure out, where you're at. I'm sure they're thinking the same thing in, who else is 0-2? Cincinnati?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you can blame it on, September football. I don't know that that's a good excuse, because everybody's in the same boat, right? But sometimes you're still trying to kind of figure things out. And, I think when you've been around, 10 years, as Brendan's been around, I think you look at it a little bit more reasonable and try not to panic and jump to conclusions. I mean, they're doing the same thing in Baltimore right now. If you look at what John Harbaugh has been saying about everybody panicking, and there's no panic inside our walls. We just got to get back and kind of clean things up. But when you lose a game, when you give up, what'd they give up? Like 13 points consecutively after they had a lead against the Raiders, and then, kind of thought they had getting ready to tie the game up, and then the toe was out of bounds, and it's tough to take, but at some point you just gotta, okay, let's see what we can do here. We're 0-2, and all the stats come out that since 2020, teams that started 0-2, only two of them out of 32 have
6%.
Made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so
How concerned, look, I hope you understand, I'm sure you do, every single one of these questions comes along with the fact that we acknowledge it's two games, right? Like, I acknowledge all of that. The red zone offense thus far has looked kind of clunky to me. You had a 1st and 10 at the Saints 15, and then at the 14 and the 16, you had opportunities. It turned into two field goals and on downs. I realize you're losing, you're going to have to go for it and everything, but it feels like the red zone offense has been clunky thus far. Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, it was somewhat clunky last year, too, I think. So,
I agree.
I think that is a concern.
Yeah.
When you don't score when you get inside the, you know, and not so much just inside the 20, but when you get start close into the 10-yard line and you end up kicking field goals, that's a concern.
Yeah.
When you went into a season worried from last year about your run defense against creditable teams, and then this happens last week, that's a concern. And I think that's fair. We'll see. Cleveland played the game entirely differently. They got behind. Oh, if you get ahead, maybe that helps out. Like score in the red zone instead of kicking two field goals to start the game.
Yeah.
And they got behind, so they were in nickel and they were just throwing the ball. But in this game, you knew that the Saints were going to come in and run the ball. In this game on Sunday, you know that the Ravens are going to come in and run the ball. And when they play Pittsburgh coming up, they're going to run the ball. And when you leak like that, it's not so much that everybody's a copycat league, like Baltimore's sitting there going, well, the Saints ran for 190. We're going to run the ball. They were going to run the ball anyway with the way they have their offense set up with the quarterback, the running back. Oh, and a 800-pound tight end. Fullback,
that's
right?
That's a large man right there.
Yeah. So, that whatever the Saints did didn't affect what Baltimore was planning to do anyway, probably back in June when they saw the third game was coming up against the Cowboys. But to me, this is a lingering concern from last year when you didn't solve it and you thought you did in the opener, and then it was back to same old in the second game. So it's like, okay, now it's the third game. Let's see which is, can you hold them to, I'm being gracious. Can you hold them to 100 yards rushing?
Yeah.
You might have a chance to win because they're not really throwing the ball all that well, but maybe they're not, throwing it that much because they're able to run the ball. So you got to kind of look at that even from their defense. They're so good against the run. That they're 32nd against the pass. Well, maybe people are just throwing because they can't run on them.
Yeah.
And the yards, the yards pile up. So, I guess it's September football.
Thank you very much.
Is there a song like that?
I mean, there should be.
See me in September.
Yeah, we'll work on that if there's not.
There's like a Do You Remember?
The 21st of September.
Yeah.
There we go. There. And it's the 22nd on Sunday, by the way.
That is true. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow, good sir. Thank you very much. There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Coming up next, Emmy Award winner and DraftKings Network NFL analyst Trey Wingo joins the show. We're live at the ballpark in Arlington right here on 105.3 The Fan.